Welcome back, everybody, to Too Much Pod Tar. And we have some exciting stuff to go over today. The Hall of Fame announcement just, you know, came out on MLB Network. They announced the three newcomers to the Hall of Fame who will be joining Jim Leland, legendary manager, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame in July in Cooperstown. So it's four guys getting inducted in 1 year. It's always like to see like the bigger classes. You know, last few years we've had smaller classes lately, but now we're back to four this year. So we have a lot to talk about. Here with me again, as always, Johnny Black, to discuss what we think about this class, and then also looking forward to next year. We got some very interesting guys coming on. Of course, Ichiro is going to be pretty close to unanimous, I would think, if not unanimous. And then we also have CeCe Sabathia, who has a good chance of being a first ballot Hall of Famer as well. But before we get into that, we'll get into that later. Just start off asking Johnny, what are your thoughts on your boy Joe Mauer getting first ballot Hall of Fame?
I'm actually surprised he got in on the first ballot. I mean, I know he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I kind of figured he was. You know, with this, the first 10 years of his career, he was a catcher, and he was one of the best. I mean, he was the best catcher in the major leagues at the point where he played, until toward the end of his catching days. Then you had Buster Posey come up. But other than that, you know, he was the best catcher, won three batting titles and MVP. I mean, you know, I knew he was going to get in the Hall of Fame. I just didn't know how the voters were gonna see him, because he went from catcher after 30 years old. He switched over to first base. Granted, he had a 300 batting average and everything like that, but for a first baseman, then the rest of his career, he was kind of a light hitter, so to speak, you know? So I didn't know how that was all going to go. He never won a ring, never made it to the World Series, blah, blah, blah. So I know they all look at that stuff. Yeah. So I wasn't thinking he was going to get in on the first ballot. Yeah, I was thinking in, but I thought it might take a year or two. So, and he just made it in. Yeah. I mean, he made it in by like five votes.
Yeah, it was only five. I think it was five votes that he made it in by. So yeah, just going over the other guys that made it. It was obviously Beltre, who I'm kind of surprised he didn't get closer to unanimous that he did. He was at 95.1%, so I think that's like four votes short of unanimous. So, you know, I think, especially since, you know, Beltre definitely would agree. I would have to say that Beltre is a better overall player than Jeter was. So, I mean, Jeter falling one vote short of the unanimous, that sets the whole thing off that, you know, the voting is just there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with the voting system. I mean, of course, Mariano Rivera deserved being unanimous, but he shouldn't have been the first. We should have had a unanimous way before that. But
yeah,
it's just, I don't know, some reason these voters just don't want to vote these guys in. Like, they don't want to put their vote up there for whatever reason. Like, I wrote in my article, my own Hall of Fame ballot that came out, you know, this morning, Tuesday, January 23rd, when we're recording this, I saw that the one guy's reasoning for not voting him in was like, he's not as good as these, like, whatever list of players that he voted for in the past. He's not as good as these guys, so that means I'm not voting for him. It's like, it doesn't matter if he's good as some other Hall of Famers or Hall of Fame caliber players, he's still a Hall of Famer, so why don't you vote for him? It doesn't make sense to me. But it doesn't really matter. He got in, so I guess at the end of the day, you get these idiots that don't want to vote for these guys, but they still get in anyway. But, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, there are other topics. There's those guys that they deserve to get in, and just these voters just up on their high horse about it. So, but anyway, I'll move on from that. We can take like all day just ranting about stuff like that, but okay. try to stay on topic a little bit here. Todd Helton finally did make it at 79.7% of the vote. So he, you know, just barely made it in sixth year on the ballot. And I'm glad he didn't have to wait 10 years like Larry Walker did, becoming the second Rockies player to make it into the Hall. Our boy Zach is definitely happy about that one. And those are the three, the Beltre, Helton, and Maurer. Like we talked about, Wagner fell just a few votes short of making it in on his ninth year, but I think he'll have a good shot of making it in next year. And before we came on the show, I was talking about I was pissed off that Gary Scheffler didn't make it. Like, I think he should have definitely made it. And he's now he fell off. It's his 10th year. He's going to have to rely on one of these veterans committees to get him in, which obviously Barry Bonds has to do the same. And probably, you know, Ramirez and A-Rod are going to have to do that as well. BBWAA just doesn't like anyone that's associated with steroids unless it fits their narrative, because they voted in other guys that were suspected of using steroids, or, you know, obviously Ortiz made it in on his first year on the ballot, but that's so much wrong with it. But Ramirez is on his eighth year, so he only has two more years left. So I don't think he's not going to get much higher than what he is at right now at 32.5%. And then A-Rod's in his third year, he was higher than him at 34.8%. So that'll be interesting what happens moving forward, especially, like I said, guys coming up next year. And another interesting guy, too, like we talked about in the preview show, Carlos Beltran getting 57.1. So that's his second year. So I think he's tracking pretty well to make it at some point in the next few years. And then another guy that's a shame that's not getting much love is Andrew Jones. He's in his seventh year, 61.6%. And I think with some of these guys falling off and getting voted in, he might get he should get a little bit of a boost. Maybe guys like get some senses and start voting for him. We'll see. But yeah, those are my initial thoughts on this ballot.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, like you said, I'm glad Helton got in now. Didn't have to wait the whole 10 years. I mean, he deserved it, obviously. Beltre is a no-brainer. I don't understand how someone can't vote for him. The guy's a top 10 third baseman all time. I'd probably put him about 6 or 7 all time in the history of baseball at third base. So, I mean, if you're top 10 at your position in 150 years of baseball, I think it's pretty easy to put that guy in, you know? So I don't understand, you know, I never understand the unanimous thing. Like you said, Mariano obviously was the greatest closer ever. There's no argument, you know, and he got in unanimously, and that's fine. But you look in past history, it's like, how did Willie Mays, how did Hank Aaron, how did Ted Williams, you know, Joe DiMaggio had to wait for his third ballot.
Yeah.
He didn't even get in his first two ballots. I mean, guys like that, like, what are these writers thinking? That I don't understand. But like you said, that's a rant for another show, whatever. But the three guys that got in definitely deserve it. And yeah, I feel bad for Sheffield that he didn't make it in. I think the Balco thing, being tied to steroids, I know he didn't get tested, you know, but he was tied to Bonds and stuff like that. So if you're not going to vote Bonds in because of that, you're not going to vote Sheffield, obviously. So I think that's what hurt his case. Andrew Jones, I think, will eventually get in. I think Wagner will get in next year on his last ballot. Jones has three more ballots, and he's at over 60%. I think he'll get a boost next couple of years. I think he'll make it in. Beltran, same thing. He's only on the second ballot, and he's already over 50%. I think he'll make it in, too. Yeah, some of these guys, I think they all deserve it, the guys we're talking about, you know. I'm glad some of these guys didn't fall off. Because even though I wouldn't have voted for him, because I wrote my article today too, came out late. I wanted to get it out Sunday, but it came out late today.
Yeah.
But I mean, some guys like that I wouldn't have voted for this year, but I'm glad to see still on the ballot, guys like Chase Utley, who got a lot of love, actually, the first year on the ballot. He had 30-something percent, 37%, something like that.
It was actually 28.8, so pretty close. Yeah.
Oh, all right, so we dropped. Okay. But still, that's not bad. First year on the ballot, you get over 25%. That's pretty good. You know, when a couple other guys stayed out, like Burley and Pettit, I kind of lumped them together. Because they're, if you look at their career statistics, they're ridiculously similar. Very close. Both pitching in, you know, American League, both pitched around the same time frame. You know, both lefties, both not big strikeout guys. They were very similar profiles, and they had very similar stats at the end of the day. You know, obviously Pettit's going to get a little bit of a boost. Because he played on his Yankee teams, he has the playoff record and stuff like that, where Burley only really made that one World Series run, made the playoffs a couple other times. But I think they were very similar players, so I'm glad to see them at least stay on the ballot again. Looks like Torrey Hunter stayed on the ballot again, which is nice, because I'm surprised a lot of guys have taken someone like Jimmy Rollins and boosting him up. But yet, Torrey Hunter gets kind of overlooked a little bit. Because those two players, they play premium positions. So shortstop, center field. And this is where it all goes for me with the baseball writers. They always look at peak. Peak, they only care about, give me a 5-6 year peak. Where, like, Jimmy Rollins had that incredible year, won the MVP, deservedly, won a World Series ring, was a great shortstop. I'm not taking anything away from Rollins. He was excellent. But you look at Torrey Hunter, who had more of a consistent career. Even Bobby Abreu, more of a consistent career, was never the greatest on the field at any one time, but was excellent for a good 13 or 15 years. And for some reason, that doesn't get votes. You know, Jimmy Rollins didn't have injuries or anything. It's not like David Wright, who kind of played, you know, he played to his peak, and then he had the back issue. And that was, or Don Mattingly, even looking at an older player. You know, guys like that, I just don't see what the voters think about peak versus consistency. I think consistency in baseball, it should be celebrated, but for some reason it's not.
Yeah.
So that's a little weird to me. And I never understood that. I mean, they always tell you baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. Well, it's a marathon. Yeah. You know, if you could play 2000 games in the major leagues and, you know, hit 250 home runs, steal 400 bases, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It should be worth more to me. But, and as far as the A-Rod Manny thing goes, yeah, I don't think either one of them are making it. A lot of these guys, I think, with A-Rod and Manny, a lot of these guys draw the line. They'll vote. They would have voted for, like, Barry and Sheffield and guys like that before testing was involved, but A-Rod and Manny were both suspended by Major League Baseball after testing started. So I think with that, a bunch of voters, I think, draw that line, which I can understand, and that's perfectly within reason. I get it. You can't really knock David Ortiz, Barry Bonds, guys like that, for saying they did steroids when you really didn't test positive. How do you know? Clemens, you know what I mean? Once they instituted the testing that the players union agreed to and everything like that, A-Rod and Manny got caught. So I understand drawing that line. I don't draw that line. I would have voted for A-Rod and Manny, but I can understand it. I don't understand the Barry Bonds thing and, like, Roger Clemens, you know, we're talking, like I said, Beltre is a top 10 third baseman all time in Major League Baseball. Barry Bonds is a top 10 outfielder all time in Major League Baseball. And Roger Clemens is a top 10 pitcher. They should be in the Hall of Fame. A-Rod is a top 10 shortstop all time. Should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care about steroids. I don't care about any off the field. That character clause, because it's not used correctly, I don't care about it. I'll vote you in. If I had an actual vote, I would vote you in of what you did on the field. I don't care about anything else. This is the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not the Personal Life Hall of Fame. So, so that's my opinion on the whole thing.
I'm surprised that you mentioned David Wright. I'm surprised he stayed on. He barely stayed on, but just, I don't know. Just, I guess they're like you said, looking at peak. He was his first, you know, first several years were really good, but then the injuries killed him. So I think that's people just kind of, they look at him like whatever, Mr. Matt sometimes, like just loving him because he played in New York.
Well, plus he was Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to say WBC team, you know, I mean, so he has other things going for him. Played for the same team his whole career. You know, there's always those little things with the older voters, especially that, you know, that which I think helped him stay on the ballot. But honestly, David Wright was the best. He was great. I mean, it's unfortunate that his injuries kept him from continuing his career.
I think what's crazy too is Bartolo got 5 votes. What the hell was voting for him?
Yeah, really. Yeah. I don't know how Cologne got that many.
I feel like people are just doing it like for humor. Like not, like they're not even taking it seriously. Like, they're just like, oh yeah, it's Bartolo Cologne. I'm gonna vote for him.
I mean, I understand if you feel that there aren't 10 worthy players on the ballot. That's your opinion. Or you're not going to vote for the steroid guys. Okay, I get it. And then, so if you're voting for, say, 6 guys on your ballot, and you want to just say, all right, I liked watching Jose Bautista play. Let me throw him a vote. Just so you can say that he was recognized by the... I get it. That's fine. But if you're going to vote for Jose Bautista or Bartolo Colon and take away that vote from someone else, then I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to use your votes strategically, basically. Especially if you think there are fewer than 10 or you think there are more than 10. Kind of got to pick and choose who you do vote for. I mean, I think there's more than 10 on the ballot. Possibly. I could be argued into, you know, Pettit, Burley, maybe Jimmy Rollins, maybe Torrey Hunter. You know. I mean, if I had an 11th pick, I would have picked Chase Utley.
Yeah.
You know, and a 12th pick, I probably would have gone with David Wright, to be honest. David Wright was a dominant player. He was an incredible third baseman for his peak. I like peak just as much as the next guy, but I think consistency loses, you know, out to peak, which I really don't get. So the last time there were four inductees was 2019.
Yeah.
A little history. It was Mariano, about 100% of the vote. Halladay, Edgar Martinez, and Mike Mussina.
Yeah, that was the one I went to.
Yeah.
I went to that ceremony, and then I went to the Jeter one.
Nice.
But Yeah, it was crazy with the Jeter one because I was expecting to go to that one in 2020, and then the pandemic got pushed back. But it was still that was great. I always loved going to Cooperstown. And it's fun. It's also cool that they do it that like, well, you don't have to pay to get into the ceremony. You just get to, you'd have to put your chairs down the night before be able to get seats. That's, you don't have to pay or anything. You just have, but it's also always tough too finding a hotel, of course. So
that's
the worst part. You have to book your hotel like months in advance, or even a year in advance.
Well, yeah, because Cooperstown is in like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The mountains in New York.
I think if CeCe gets in next year, I might actually might even do a hotel, just do set up a camper somewhere.
Yeah, I would love to go to that next year.
Yeah, Ichiro, CeCe maybe, and then
there's a few guys coming on that, Well, it's really Ichiro and CeCe.
Yeah.
Pedroia is going to be an interesting choice. Because he's coming on next year.
Yeah, I think he'll get some. Oh, I think he'll stay on for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at him. You look at him compared to Wright. I mean, Pedroia had the injury, Machado slid into him and that kind of ended his, his run. But he's got an MVP. I mean, he part of World Series teams, Gold Glove winner. He's got some accolades there. And he didn't play very long. But almost a 300 batting average career.
365.
Wow. He's going to be an interesting case. He and Kinsler are coming up next year. Kinsler is another one. That's an interesting. I don't think Kinsler is going to get nearly as much love as Pedroia. And that's another one that's. You look at the total package, and Kinsler has a lot of career numbers. But Pedroia's got the MVP. Pedroia's got the, And he played for a big team like Boston. So it's going to be interesting. Felix Hernandez is another one coming on next year.
Bring him up, yeah.
That's going to be another one that's interesting. He retired when he was, 33?
Yeah, he was young.
He
had 200 strikeouts in six straight seasons. Like, that's pretty big.
Yeah. Got a Cy Young, finished second twice.
Led in ERA twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, his age 33 season. I mean, he was done by the time he was 30, basically. His last three seasons were nothing right home about, But I think he's going to have a struggle, too, because 169 career wins.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the older voters especially are going to look at that and be like, wow. The volume is not there. But again, his peak was excellent. Got a perfect game of throwing that, too. 2,500 strikeouts. I mean, he's 3.42 ERA. That's pretty good.
And there's some guys on here, too, that are coming on that, they're kind of like a what if, they just didn't have the length, they started off so good and then, fell off. Like, there's Adam Jones.
Hanley Ramirez,
yeah, that's
one. You know what's interesting to me, too, is the two catches, Russell Martin and Brian McCann. I'm interested to see how they stack up with the new framing and all that stuff that they've been doing, because they were a part of that. And if you look at their B war, on Baseball Reference, Brian McCann's 32, Russell Martin's 38.8, which doesn't look incredible. But if you look at F4, like Fangraphs, when they judge catches a little differently, they're both over 50. So they're going to be a real test of like how sabermetrics fits and how the judgment of catchers and framing and things like that really work and how it affects the voting. I mean, I would take McCann over Martin personally. Martin's a little rough. I know the 248 batting average hurts. You know, and McCann's got a higher OPS. He's got more home runs. He had 10 years in a row, I believe, with 20 home runs or more as a catcher. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was just reading that. That's the second most of any catcher.
Yeah, that's
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, 282 home runs in his career. That's a lot for a catcher. 1,000 ribbies, you know. He's only got 1,590 hits, which is a little light. But, you know, as a catcher, you got to kind of lower your standards as far as hitting goes for catchers. Because it's not like they play 162 games a year. So, and McCann only had barely over 6,000 at-bats. So I'd give him a little leeway. Russell Martin, I don't know. Like I said, I take McCann.
Yeah, Russell Martin's defense was always pretty good, but
He could run for a catcher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I know his defense is really good, but that offense is just, I'm sorry, a little weak. If McCann is borderline, I just don't see Russell Martin even having a chance.
Yeah. And there's a guy on here that obviously he's not going to make it, but you know how interesting of a, like, discussion would be, or decision by his part would it be, like Edwin Jackson, all the teams that he played for, what team would he put, like what hat would he be wearing? I assume that he'd just wear the Cardinals since that's where he won the World Series. But Dodgers, Rays, Tigers, D-backs, White Sox, Cardinals, Nationals, Cubs, Braves, Marlins, Padres, Orioles, A's, Blue Jays, 14 different teams.
That's crazy. Played for almost half the league. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And you got some guys that could be on the list, but obviously they pare it down. So everyone who's actually eligible doesn't make the ballot.
Yeah.
They actually cut it down. So I'm looking at guys on the bottom like Mark Reynolds. I don't think he's making a ballot. You know, Fernando Rodney, Mark Trumbo, Andrés Morales. I mean, you know, guys like that, like, won't even be on the ballot. Yeah. Carlos Gonzalez is an interesting one. Cargo, Curtis Colorado.
Curtis Granderson is interesting, too.
Yeah, I love Granderson, too. I hope he stays on there. I love Granderson.
Yeah, I got his autograph when I was like 14.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was rehabbing down in Scranton. I was just like, hey Curtis, can I get an autograph? And then
nice. He always seems like he was always happy.
Yeah, he was. I remember he playing a game. When he was signing the baseball that I had, he was kind of smiling. It seemed like he was smiling the whole time. He was happy, like, even being down in like rehab and not being with the Yankees at the time. Like,
yeah,
always in a good mood. Like you talk about with Bobby, or no, not Bobby Abreu. Torrey Hunter, was that the guy that is always smiling?
Yeah, Hunter, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the dude always had a smile on his face. I was going through the pictures, like, on Getty to, like, put it in the article and stuff. It was like every other picture, the dude's, like, smiling. It's about playing a game.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't think, yeah. I'd love for Grandison to make it, too, but, you know.
I think he'll get some love, that, like, you know, at least gets be able to stay on.
Yeah.
You know, the 40 home run seasons he had, 20 home runs in 10 straight seasons, or not 10 straight, but 10 seasons. And he got MVP votes in 2011.
Yeah, I just think his total numbers are going to be, especially for an outfielder. He didn't get the 2,000 hits. He had 1,800 exactly. Yeah. 344 home runs, 153 steals, but he didn't get to 1,000 RBIs, like 249 batting average. I know that stuff really shouldn't matter as much, but, you know, just his total numbers.
Yeah.
You know, a little light for an outfielder. Zobrist, too. Zobrist is another one that'll be interesting because he played all over the place. And then Tulowitzki, another one that is, you know, if he didn't have injuries, Troy Tulowitzki was excellent shortstop. But I think injuries ended him. But I mean, yeah, he retired basically. He was done by the time he was 32. Also.
Wow, Melky Cabrera finished with a 285 batting average.
Yeah, he's not sniffing the Hall of Fame, though, because he got caught with steroids. And he's not. Like I said in my article, I was talking about Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez. And talking about, like, I don't care about steroids. I don't care about steroids when you're that dominant.
Yeah.
If you're a borderline player, yes. Then I'll say, all right, steroids help you to just get to borderline. So, no, you're not a Hall of Famer. And that's Melky Cabrera. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really, you know, he had a few good years, but that was it. But yeah, I'm surprised too. 285, that's pretty good. Almost 2,000 hits, too.
Good old Martin Prado.
Yeah, another guy. Played wherever. First, second, short, third, but anywhere.
Yeah, it was fun. When he was with the Yankees, it was just fun to watch sometimes.
Good player. A lot of these guys were good. I mean, even, you know, even look at guys dropping off this year. You know, Brandon Phillips. You know, solid second baseman for Cincinnati for years. You know, 200 RB, 200 stolen bases, 200 home runs, 2,000 hits. I mean, put up a good career. But it's a good career. Just not, it's not a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, very good.
You know, yeah. Victor Martinez. He had some really good years hitting.
Yeah.
Couldn't catch to save his life, but, you know. Matt Holliday, another one. Adrian Gonzalez. A lot of guys that were really good through their careers, but just not, you know, they're just not Hall of Famers. But of course, that's for all the voters to judge. You know, I just wish, like we said before, you know, I just wish these voters would take this more seriously. You know, I think it's changing a little bit with getting some of the older guys out. And that's when it's going to change, is that these guys have to. The Hall of Fame itself has to have a more stringent policy on who is doing the voting. So they have guys that have been retired for 10 years. How do you know they even watched the baseball game in the past 10 years? You know what I mean? I think there's got to be more of a policy of who is voting, and I think that'll clean it up a lot.
I think it should be like required for them to go out and explain their votes to, like, some of the guys do, I definitely commend people that do that, but I think it should be not like you have to explain, like, why did you vote for whatever? Why did you vote for David Ortiz a few years ago, not Alex Rodriguez or whatever? Why didn't you vote for Barry Bonds?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that's the thing. Some of the ballots don't make sense. And like I said, I'm fine with guys voting and they don't want to vote for anyone that had a steroid suspension like A-Rod or Manny. Okay. I understand that. That's where you draw the line. That's where you draw the line. All right. But there's got to be some sort of reason to this stuff. And it just seems like a lot of these bad ballots, it's almost like they put it on the wall and took a dart out and threw the dart at the ballot. I was like, it's close enough to Jimmy Rollins. We'll put him in. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to it. No rhyme or reason. It's funny. I was just looking at the following year. Who's coming out? There's not much. But I think the ballot's going to clear up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
The only guys that have even a realistic shot is Ryan Braun and Cole Hamels. And I think Hamels has an uphill climb. I don't think Ryan Braun's getting any love because of the positive test. So... And plus two, he's borderline. So he's like, Ryan Braun is a guy that's like, all right, he won an MVP, but he's a borderline Hall of Famer. But he tested positive. So I wouldn't vote for him. I mean, his numbers look decent, but, you know. Cole Hamels? He's got a shot.
Yeah. Seems like the years are flying by. I didn't realize he was that long ago they retired.
Yeah, right? I know. It's like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he was the MVP for the 2008 NLCS and the World Series. Cy Young was the top 10 Cy Young Award voting.
Yeah, a nice career, 3.43 ERA for his career, 2,500 strikeouts. I mean, his stats are actually, it's funny because his stats are actually similar to Felix Hernandez. But he's got 10 more WAR. So it's interesting. He's got 3.43, 163 wins. Felix Hernandez, 3.42, 169 wins. Cole Hamels, 2,560 strikeouts. Felix Hernandez, 2,524. they're really close. Like, their stats are actually really close. Hernandez got the Cy Young. Hamels got the World Series. I mean, those two will be tied together, I think, kind of like Pettit and Burley. But definitely, I think that it's going to clear up a lot that year. Not next year, but the year after. I think a bunch of guys will go in and then it'll clear up a little bit. Because really, after that, there's like nobody that's worth. No one's even coming close.
interesting names, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but no one that's really Hall of Fame worthy. Yeah. I mean, the next guys in WAR: Alice Gordon, Shin-Soo Choo, Edwin Encarnacion. I mean, yeah.
So.
But yeah. Yeah, so it was interesting to look ahead, even the year after that.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of who else is going to be on.
Buster Posey. And John Lester, who's another interesting case. Brett Gardner. Who's probably not going to get in. Yeah. He's not getting in.
Andrew Miller.
Ryan Zimmerman, Kyle Seager. I mean, it's, you know, there's really not much there. I'd say Buster Posey is pretty much a shoo-in. John Lester, maybe. Because Lester's got the rings. He's got the playoff experience. He's got the 200 wins. So I think he'll get as much love probably as Cole Hamels, you know. Again, similar. He's got more wins, but he's a 3.66 ERA, almost 2,500 strikeouts. I mean, you know, very similar profiles.
Yeah.
But nearly not the same WAR. So I don't know, you know. I just don't know how some of these voters, like, if they follow WAR, like, blindly. Just be like, well, this guy's got 10 more WAR than the other guy, so he's that much better. Which really, you know, he can't do that.
In 2028, we got Yachty and Pujols. That'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2029 is going to be, like, really packed. Because you got Miguel Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, Adam Wainwright, Michael Brantley.
Yeah. I don't want to see Cabrera out of those crew.
Yeah.
I get Nelson Cruz. He has a really good career. But he's another one who got suspended from steroids. So I just don't think. And he was a DH for most of his career. I mean, I just don't see it. He wasn't as good as David Ortiz or Edgar Martinez. I think that's the gold standard for DHs at this point. And I just don't think Nelson Cruz matches up. And when you add in the steroids, the suspension for steroids, then I think you got to take him out. Wainwright, I don't know. I mean,
he only had 2,200 strikeouts. So
yeah, he was so up and down in his career. I just don't know about him. Personally, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I haven't looked at his numbers. Yachty, I think, will get a lot of love. Pujols is obviously that's a no-brainer, but of course there'll be a couple people that don't vote for him.
It'll be interesting to see where, like, is anybody like close to retiring like this after this year.
I'm trying to think. Does anyone? Well, Joey Votto is going to be interesting. I mean, he says he still wants to play, but I just don't know if he's going to play anymore. Cincinnati already let him go. I mean, already said they're not, you know, they put out a public thing thanking Joey Votto for his time at Cincinnati. So if he plays again, it's not going to be in Cincinnati. But he's basically, so if he doesn't play again, he's retired. Zach Greinke. There's another one. That should definitely get in. You look at a couple of the other pitchers. I mean, with Kershaw, Scherzer, Verlander. They're on their way out. I don't know how much longer they're going to pitch. Another year or two, maybe. But as far as position players, Votto's the only one I can think of that's, you know, on his way out within the next year or two and has a shot at the Hall of Fame. I can't, I'm trying to think of like anyone else that's in.
Maybe if Andrew.
What?
Maybe if Andrew McCutchen retires, but I don't know if he's about.
Yeah. McCutchen, yeah. He's probably another one.
Yeah, he's borderline.
Yeah, he'd be interesting.
They did. I'm glad to see he was signed back with the Pirates again.
Yeah. Yeah, McCutchen would be interesting. Case. He's another one though. He's like Granderson and Torrey Hunter. Like I love McCutchen. It seems like still he's just having fun.
Outside of those guys, though, I don't think of anybody else that's going to be retiring. That's like a Hall of Fame, like borderline Hall of Fame.
No. Yeah, like I said, not that's retiring in the next like year or two. That's fine. Don't block up the ballot. Yeah. You know, retire in increments. You get all these guys retiring at the same time, and then in 5 years, you get the ballot is all backed up. Which I think is stupid. I think it's stupid they lowered the amount of players you could vote for.
Yeah, they should just have that. You'd vote for anybody.
I mean, they cut down the eligibility, first of all, to 10 years from 15. And then they cut down the amount of players of the writers can vote for. What are you doing? What would you expect? Now you're only going to get a couple. Luckily, this year we're getting four people, but I don't know. When you get a crowded ballot, then. In a few years, people are going to be complaining. They're like, which 10 do I vote for?
Then you got guys that don't vote for 10. It's like, what? Why don't you just use all your votes?
Right. I don't know. Some guys like a small hall. They think it's, you know, it should be only the best of the best. No steroid use. No. Like, it should only be, you know. But baseball still has the smallest percentage of players in the Hall of Fame of the four major sports. Barely over 1%. So. I think they can expand it a little bit. There were like, there's something like 24,000 players that have played in the major leagues, and like 260 something have been, are in the Hall of Fame. So you got basically the top 1%. But I would expand it because there are tons. I could probably name 30 or 40 players off the top of my head that should be in the Hall of Fame that were never voted in. So I think you can expand it to at least 1.5 to 2%. That should be in. Which is still exclusive. It's still the best of the best.
Speaking of other sports, I'm already looking forward to Jason Kelce getting inducted.
Do they have to wait 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's 5 years.
Yeah, right?
But
I forget about the Football Hall of Fame. Like, I don't really think of it until it comes around.
Yeah.
Which it's actually around right now.
Yeah, I don't even think about it.
They sold on it right before the Super Bowl?
I think so.
I think they announced it the week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think they do it with, like, all the other awards, like the MVP.
Yeah.
I honestly don't.
They tear it down. Like, there are like 25 semifinalists, and then they knock it down to like 15, and then they knock it down to like 10, and then it's 6 or something. Like they, there's a paring down process in NFL Hall of Fame voting. I don't know exactly how they do it, but I know that it starts with like a bigger pool, and then they pare it down.
Yeah, I've never really looked into it, how that works. I just know what happened. Like, I just know who's in each class. Just that's all I look at.
Yeah. But I think they can only vote. I think 6 is the max that they vote in. So they vote, and then they take the top 6 vote getters. Something like that. It's different than, obviously different than baseball.
Just know when Jason Kelce does get in, his speech is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's such a great dude. I mean, you know.
I'm still holding out hope that he stays one more year. Because he didn't officially announce his retirement yet.
I think he's done, man.
I think he is, too.
But I think this was it. I think they wanted to get back to the Super Bowl, and they didn't. And I think
I don't think he wants to go through.
Oh, man.
Coaching. They just fired both coordinators, so I don't know if he wants to go through another change like that.
Exactly.
He's got his, you know, if he wants to, he has a career after his playing career with the.
Yeah, well, he's got the podcast with his brother. Brother's probably going to retire after this year. If Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, I guarantee you Travis is retiring. He's going to go out on top. And he can just chill out with Taylor Swift. Dude, he can chill out at home. Taylor Swift goes on a tour. He can do his podcast with his brother. I mean, dude, what's a better life than that? I mean, he's got the life.
Then, yeah, like, both of them definitely have, like, if they wanted to be a coach or something.
Yeah. I just wonder if, I could see them doing stuff in training camp, but I wonder if they'd want to be on the sidelines. I don't know. You know, sometimes guys just feel like, you know, that's it. I'm done. You know? So, I don't know. Sometimes guys retire, too. And they leave the game for a year or two, and then they get that itch.
Yeah.
So you may see them coaching, you know, or something like that, because they want that competitive, you know, they're used to that. The regiment every day, you get up at a certain time, you go to the field, you look at X's and O's and blah, 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 blah. That's why a lot of these guys don't retire. Because it's like you retire. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, I could definitely see Jason as like an offensive line coach or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure teams will reach out to them, you know.
I mean, the Eagles would be calling them every day, like, yo, you going to come back to coach yet? Jeez.
Yeah. They're probably asking him already.
Yeah. Probably sending them pigs to his house.
Yeah, take a few weeks. It'll take a little while. Think about your retirement. And then if you want to, you know, if you want a spot, let me know. Because I'm sure if Jason Kelce called the Eagles and was like, you know, you got a spot for me on your coaching staff, can I come in at least for training camp, coach up some of these offensive linemen? You think Nick Sirianni's going to say no? No. I mean, at least to work with the young kids in training camp, even if you're not a coach during the season on the sidelines. You know, you bring it in, you draft an offensive lineman or whatever, or, you know, why wouldn't you have someone like Jason Kelce there? Not just to coach the offensive lineman, but to having a veteran who's been there, done that in recent times, not an old guy. You know, you have someone who just retired that knows the game now. You know, that's important. Plus, you keep the culture that way, which I think Sirianni lost this year. Oh, yeah. The Eagles, they were horrible at the end of the year.
Yeah, just I feel like his decision to go to Matt Patricia for defensive play calling, just I think it just threw like a wrench in the whole, like they just the whole. The whole locker room just lost. I think he just lost the whole locker room. But it's, yeah. I think he deserves another chance. Like, I don't think he should be fired, like some people are saying. But it's also, it's also at this point, like, they're kind of, I don't know, coordinators are kind of scapegoats. They both lost their jobs.
Yeah, I think Sirianni definitely deserves another chance. I mean, he just brought you to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not like, you know, and he brought you to the playoffs this year. So, I mean, it's not like you guys, you know, but, you know, with the roster you had this year, you should have gone farther. But I knew, I saw the writing on the wall. I won good money on Tampa Bay. Because I just saw that coming. The Eagles, they were just so bad at the end of the year.
Into the playoffs.
You know, it's the opposite. It's just like a team getting hot. You know what I mean? Like winning their last six games of the season and going into the playoffs hot. It's the same. It was the same thing, but opposite. You know, a team gets on a streak and something's going on. You just see it. That's it. You know?
Yeah. I thought it was funny that people were saying, like, they were comparing it to 2017. And they, like, oh, yeah, the Eagles weren't expected to do anything that year either. It's like, well, they had the first seed that year. So it's like they already were in this position to go far. It was like this year they lost the first seed and they had to go travel to Tampa Bay. So it's like,
yeah,
I knew that was probably going to happen too.
Yeah, not only that, Tampa Bay was hot coming in too. Yeah. Baker Mayfield was playing really well. And Tampa had the home game. So I was like, yeah, I was thinking to myself, like when I was betting the game, I was like, yeah, Tampa could take this. As much as I hated it because they're in my division, but I'm glad the Lions beat them. I was just hoping the Lions beat San Francisco.
Yeah, me too. Lions, I hope it's going to be Lions and Bills. Not Bills, they lost.
Yeah. Lions and Ravens.
Lions and Ravens.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so.
Sorry, Bills. Any Bills fans in here that I just made really upset?
I actually would have rooted for the Bills if they would have won.
Yeah, I mean, I would have too.
You know, because I would have liked to see Bills Lions, because neither team has ever won a championship. So at least you had two teams. One of them's going to come out with their first ring.
You know, and we saw it, although Arizona has a ring, but we saw it this year in baseball. The Rangers won their first, for the first time in franchise history. You know what I mean? I would have liked to have seen that with the Lions Bills. It would have been something different. But.
They're still good with the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Detroit.
Saints are morons, dude. Saints are idiots. They're not keeping Dan Campbell. We could have promoted him to head coach, but no, let's let him go and let's promote Dennis Allen, who's another Jeff Fisher, and the Saints are going to be 9-8 or 8-9 for the next fucking 10 years. He's ready to coach the team. Because he sucks.
Yeah.
The talent the Saints had this year, there's no reason they shouldn't have won that division. Bullshit.
Especially that weak division.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, big games, we choked it. Lost to the Rams on Thursday night. That put us behind the eight ball. You know, and we had already lost to Tampa Bay at the beginning of the season. So, you know, and then went into the last week of the season. We had to trust Carolina to beat Tampa Bay. So, you know, you take your destiny out of your hands at that point. So they get what they got. But I just hope they make some changes because they have to do something. They're gonna be mired in mediocrity for the next few years.
It's all been downhill since that pass interference call in the playoffs, or the non-call.
Yeah. No, Sean Payton left too. I mean, it's, you know. Like I said, they still got a talented team, but they just didn't play up to the talent. It's almost like the Chargers. You look at the Chargers. Would they win 5 games this year?
Something like that.
With the talent they have? I know Brandon Staley got fired and everything, but I mean, I'm just saying, there's no reason that team should be 5-12. 6-11. They should be fighting for a wild card, at least. You know, just like the Saints. The Saints should have won that division. No question.
I saw the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh might be a candidate there.
Yeah. Yeah, they were talking about him a lot. I could see him going to the West Coast. The thing, Belichick now with the Falcons is not looking good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be, you know, going to be a thing. But they're saying that, like, it's just not, I don't know. I read something before. That it might not happen. So, who knows?
Well, anyway, I want to get off too much off topic. So,
yeah. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to get going.
All right. Thanks again, as always, for coming on.
Yeah. Oh, anytime, man. Yeah, we'll have to do. Let's see, we got what, about 3 weeks till pitches and catches?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to start writing up some like season previews once spring training rolls around.
Yeah, I'm still working on my top 1,000 players of all time. It's so crazy. I'm putting him in the spreadsheet. I have like 1,200 players total that I've narrowed it down to. Now I just got to narrow it down even more. But it's so crazy looking at some of these guys. It's like, all right, is this guy better than this guy? But I definitely want to get it started because I want to get that started and done and then run into like the previews at the end of February, beginning of March, like team previews and shit. Once, like you said, once spring training starts. All right, brother.
All right. Have a good one.
Take it easy, Alex.
You too.
All right.